feeling a bit overwhelmed as we speak of the beauty and of the power and of the strength in the word of Yahweh. There is so much to understand. It goes so deep. And I pray that the words of all the scripture goes deep into our hearts and touches us, that we might know Yahweh, that we might know His Son and see Him someday. I'm continuing on in the presentations of the book of Matthew, and it is going really slow because there's so much depth to every word that is in Scripture. And today I want to cover basically Matthew 7, verse 15, which reads, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." The verses that follow this begin with verse 16. "You will know them by their fruits." You will know the false prophets by their fruits. "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." And this is not a wishy-washy thing. Yahweh, through Matthew, is providing for us a black and white statement, good versus evil. If you are good, you will produce good fruits. You will abide in Yahweh and walk as Yahshua walked, doing the will of Yahweh. If you do not abide in Yahweh, you are not bearing good fruits, and you cannot produce good ones. Beware of false prophets. Literally, in Greek, this means beware of those who profess untruths, who come to you in sheep's clothing. Figuratively, those who present themselves to you as gentle and willing to please, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. But their intent is to destroy you, consume you, or use you for their own purposes. In Colossians 2, beginning at verse 8, we read, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy," that is, argumentation, "and empty deceit." Now, the word deceit is the Greek word apates, which means a delusion, or which is a strongly held belief that an individual clings to, of which he cannot be convinced is devoid of reality or truth. In other words, a delusion is an untruth that you cannot talk a person out of. According to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles, literally from the Greek, stoike, which means the orderly walk. And this is the orderly walk of the traditions of men. And it says so, of the world, and not according to Messiah. For in Him dwells all the fullness of Yahweh bodily. Now, I've chosen to use the name Yahweh here instead of the English word Godhead, because the Greek words, tais, theo, tetos, means the highest authority, who is, of course, Almighty Yahweh. Verse 10, "And you are complete in Him," referring back to Yahshua, who is the head of all principality and power. And this power was given to him by Yahweh, by his Father. Essentially, Paul is telling us that we are not to consider arguments based on tradition for our fundamentals of faith. Those who preach as truth the traditions of men are the ravenous wolves being referred to in Matthew 7, verse 15. Radio and TV stations are replete with so-called biblical teachings which defy the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the New Testament, the Brit Chadashah. Let me present to you a typical teaching, and you judge for yourself whether this fits with Scripture or not. The following was taken from the website Back to the Bible. The founder, whose name is Theodore Epp, made the presentation entitled, "The Sabbath or the Lord's Day, Which?" And several excerpts are quoted and commented upon below. These traditional beliefs of men are often broadcast by the website's radio and TV presentations, not to mention the myriads of other media moguls. Epp writes, "Some religious groups teach that it is necessary to keep the Sabbath in order to be saved. They insist that we are still under the law. Yet for reasons not divulged, they assume the right to remove some of the restrictions laid down in the Bible with regard to keeping the Sabbath as a day of rest. So while they contend that the keeping of the day is incumbent on the Christian, they change the nature of it by their own authority. This adds to the confusion surrounding this annoying problem, for which the only satisfactory solution is found in the Bible." Now, from here, he proceeds to prove that Sabbath pertains only to the Creator, that it is His day, not ours. However, let's just examine this small portion of his presentation and ask the question, is keeping the Sabbath day salvational for those who follow Yahshua? Well, I can tell you that we do not teach that you must keep the Sabbath in order to be saved. This is the argument that he's making against those who believe that keeping the law is salvation. But salvation was performed on our behalf by Yahshua. He freely submitted himself to take the stripes of punishment meant for us. And he died the death meant for us. Our actions have nothing to do with his sacrifice. Redemption, however, when Yahshua returns to gather the righteous, is a matter of keeping the law of Yahweh. In Matthew 7, beginning at verse 21, we read, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Master,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And we might ask, what is the will of the Father in heaven? Nothing else but keeping the commandments and believing in his Son, Yahshua. Verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Master, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Lawlessness. 1 John 3, verse 4 and 5. If we want to know what lawlessness is, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Okay? Yahshua says, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So he's saying, essentially, to those who are not allowed into the kingdom, go away, because you do not keep the commandments of Yahweh. You break his law. Revelation 14:12, which we all know very well. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. This is in the last book of the Bible. This is basically our last chance to understand what Scripture is all about. In Revelation 12:17, it says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah." So is Satan at war with those who break the law? Hardly. That's his ambition, is to get people to break the law of Yahweh. And anyone who succeeds in convincing people that the law is dead, that we are no longer under the law, in other words, we no longer have to obey the law of Yahweh, the Ten Commandments, is a liar and is of the devil. That's his ambition, to convince us that we don't have to do that. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19, "Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of Yahweh is what matters." Throughout Scripture, those who keep the commandments of Yahweh are considered by Him to be His people. Acknowledging the saving work of Yahshua and realizing the tremendous gift of eternal life being offered will move the believer to obey the commandments of Yahweh as Yahshua commands us. If you consider salvation to be eternal life, then know this, that entrance into the kingdom of Yahweh is conditional. It's conditional on obedience, as it says in Matthew 19, beginning at verse 16. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, Yahweh. But if,'" it's a conditional term, "'if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.'" Keep the commandments. Yahshua presents that this one thing is required to have eternal life. Keep the commandments. Are we still under the law of Yahweh? Romans 6, beginning at verse 14, reads, "For sin," that is, the transgression of the law, "shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin?" Shall we transgress the law of Yahweh? Paul is asking. "Because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not." And by certainly not, he's saying that we are not to sin. We are not to disobey the law of Yahweh. Verse 16, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey," he's talking about obedience here, "you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin," whether of transgressing the law of Yahweh, "leading to death, or of obedience to the law of Yahweh, leading to righteousness." I mean, how clear can it be? How clear does it need to be that Paul demand? I mean, as much as a human being can demand, we are to obey the law of Yahweh, not to disobey. If the phrase "under the law" means obedience to Yahweh, then yes, we are under the law of Yahweh. But then, how can Paul say you are not under the law, but under grace? Well, can we first of all agree that Paul cannot be contradicting himself? It would be so obvious if he were. And so often people will take portions of Scripture and magnify that and not read what the remainder of the Scripture says. But here, Paul is not contradicting himself. And I just need you to agree with that before we go ahead. So what we have to do is to decide essentially whether or not the phrase under the law has anything to do with not keeping the commandments of Yahweh. We need to understand that first before we can understand that he's not contradicting himself. After using this phrase twice, under the law, Paul then teaches that we are clearly not to sin, even under grace, that obeying the law of Yahweh leads to righteousness, a clear requirement for standing before Yahweh, and that disobedience leads to death, that is, eternal death. So the word under now is the Greek word hupo, also meaning beneath. So here's what it means to be under or beneath the law. We find in Luke 20, verse 18, whoever falls on that stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, now there's who's beneath the stone, the rock, Yahweh, it will grind him to powder. That should be clear, what it means to be under the law. It means to be ground to powder. In Romans 3:31, we read, do we then make void the law of Yahweh through faith? Does having faith means that we make the law void? Certainly not, he says. On the contrary, we establish the law, being under grace and following the law. Does that make sense? Paul does not condemn the law. In fact, he says if we do not obey it, we are dead eternally. Galatians 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you will not be crushed by the rock. 1 John 3:10, in this the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are manifest. Here's the division. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of Yahweh. Again, this is Paul. I'm sorry, that's John speaking there. And so, going back to the article that I was referring to, the author, Epp, contends that they, and that would be us, contend that the keeping of the day, Sabbath, is incumbent on the Christian. He also contends that this all adds to the confusion surrounding this annoying problem. You know, the annoying problem, those who are honoring the Sabbath of Yahweh. I guess that would be us, that problem would be us too. The Bible is clear. By evidence of practice, however, Christians are those who do not follow it, don't follow the Scripture, do not follow the law of Yahweh, but follow the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, essentially, which has mixed the doctrines of pagan worship with a belief in the Messiah in order to gain political control over their empire. Now, this happened anciently. And while their physical Roman Empire, created through violence and murder and torture, has been destroyed, their spiritual principalities have flourished to include 2 billion followers of their man-made doctrines. No, we would not contend that the keeping of the day is incumbent on the Christian. Rather, we would repeat what is spoken in Revelation 18, verse 4 and 5. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. Yahweh has remembered their sins. He has remembered their aversion to obedience. He has remembered their man-made doctrines and their avoidance of spiritual truth. Jeremiah 10, beginning at verse 1. Hear the word which Yahweh speaks to you, O house of Israel. That's a whole other story. Thus says Yahweh, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. It's a commandment through Jeremiah not to honor the ways of the Gentiles, the ways of the pagans, false worship, multiple deity worship. We are not to follow. Deuteronomy 12, verse 30. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them. And he's referring to the nations there. After they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire, don't even ask after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. This is a commandment to not even inquire, not even ask. That's how inquiring is sin. But here we have people in this nation practicing the doctrines, the traditions, not only of man, but of paganity. There is entirely too much to cover in response to the article by Mr. Epp. His article can be read in full at on the internet at www.backtothebible.org and clicking on Bible studies. I do want to leave you with some of his concluding statements, among which are some obvious errors. He writes, the average Christian, instead of making the Lord's Day one of service, has made it one of rest and feasting. This is not the purpose of the Lord's Day. That is merely a perversion of the Jewish Sabbath day. Christians need to wake up and to grasp the meaning of this resurrection day. Souls need to be rescued from darkness, and only the gospel of Jesus Christ can accomplish this. Well, number one, the Lord's Day, as referenced in Revelation 1 verse 10, is not a day of rest, which one would realize if they simply read further. It is, in fact, a day of destruction when those who oppose Yahweh are scattered in the fields as food for the birds of the air. Revelation 1:10 reads, and this is John writing, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and this is the vision of the day of Yahweh, a reference to the day of utter destruction, not a day of holiness, not a day of praise and getting prepared for the coming of Messiah. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, this is the Greek version, and Alpha and Omega are Greek, whereas our master, Yahshua, is Hebrew. This should be read, I am the Aleph and the Tau. The first and the last. And using the phrase in his article, Jewish Sabbath day, is a clear indicator of someone who has been infused with hatred toward one of the tribes of Israel, those of Judah. The seventh-day Sabbath is Yahweh's Sabbath, a day that He has given to mankind. It's not a day made by man. It's a day created by our Heavenly Father, Almighty Yahweh. Leviticus 23, beginning at verse 1, describes that to us. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, now notice he's speaking to the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, and say to them, the feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Holy convocations in Hebrew is Mikrai Kodesh. It means a day where we gather together to honor Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day, that's a specific day of the week, is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. Here, Yahweh, through Moses, commands us to meet together. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. Mark 2:27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man. Here it is. Sabbath was made for man, not created by man. And not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also master of the Sabbath. Over what Sabbath is Yahshua the master of? He's the master of Yahweh's Sabbath, the seventh day. And going back to our lead verse, Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, those who teach from the scripture falsely, who come to you in sheep's clothing, who appear to be pleasing to us, who speak gentle words and tickle our ears, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Meaning they want to destroy and terrorize with kind words. Clearly, Yahshua was reiterating the prophecy spoken by Ezekiel in chapter 22, verses 23 through 31. And here we begin at verse 23 of Ezekiel. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, this is Israel, to Israel, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. This is the day of Yahweh, the ones that the Christians say are is the holy day of gathering. The conspiracy of her prophets, in other words, those who are teaching these things, gathering together. In her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Wow. I mean, this is true in Ezekiel's day. How true is it today that the law of Yahweh has been violated and that the unclean and the clean have not been distinguished about? Verse 27. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, using the words, thus says Adonai Yahweh, when Yahweh had not spoken, the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and the needy, and they wrongfully oppress the stranger. Verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says Adonai Yahweh. This applies to today. There's nothing that Yahweh has put in front of us in his scripture that is untrue and that will not be repeated until the end of time. We see this clearly in our lifetime, how if you get a degree in divinity, you can speak lies and be reassured by others that you're telling the truth. In Zephaniah chapter 3, begin at verse 1. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted. Woe to them who disobey Yahweh, who oppose what he has given to us. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in Yahweh. She has not drawn near to her Elohim. Her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. And verse 4, her prophets are insolent, treacherous people. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. They've done violence to what? To the law of Yahweh. Yahweh is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He shows us every morning what is happening in this world. He never fails, but the unjust knows no shame. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, Yahshua speaks to the Pharisees. How can you, being evil, and why did he call them evil? Because they made up their own laws, they had their own doctrines that covered up the law of Yahweh and made the law of Yahweh to no effect. To have no power, to have no resilience amongst the people. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And verse 36, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment, on the Lord's day, if you will, on the day of Yahweh. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And this is a powerful promise. It is a threat to those who speak against Yahweh. It is a blessing to those who speak in behalf of Yahweh. And if you remember, which in Hebrew does not mean call to mind, it means speak in behalf of. If you remember the law of Yahweh and abide in the walk of Yahshua, your words will justify you. We will produce fruit according to the seed that is within us, and we are free to choose from the tree of life and partake of that seed, or from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and partake of that seed. Which will you choose? In Yahshua's name, hallelujah.